You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. Here with me to discuss another scintillating Chicago Bears effort on Sunday is Mike Pusateri and Mike Presnowski. Guys, how are you? Is that good?
Do we have to answer that?
We can just let the people assume. Like, we're all in the same boat, and it's water up to our ass.
Well, as we say in Hollywood, one day longer, one day stronger.
Exactly. There was not really much room for the Bears to make us feel good at all this Sunday, if we're being honest. I mean, yes, I did predict that they would cover the spread. Yeah, the Chiefs finally covered a spread of 10 or more. I guess if any team was going to allow that to happen, it would be the Bears.
Spread wasn't 32. You didn't get minus 32 on the Bears.
Should have.
We certainly learned a lot this week, didn't we?
We did. Let's get the plugs out of the way. I don't want you guys to miss
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah.
So, of course, for me, just go to pointlessexercise.com and just bask in the glory of everything that's there. Mike Presnowski, what else are you up to?
So you can follow me on Twitter at Prazmaster. You can follow me on Blue Sky Praz. And I got my Cubs podcast going. Me and John Oliva just recorded last night, along with the Barrels and Barrels Cubs and Whiskeys podcast. Had a little crossover episode, so that was fun. Follow us. We record every Monday night on the Chicago Sports Bums YouTube page. The podcast is called Bums in the Bleachers.
So wait, so what's Barrels and Barrels? Is they just pound whiskey while they talk about the Cubs?
Basically, yes.
I mean, it's basically like when you go on Tom Loxas's podcast, you're supposed to drink beer the whole time. Which, you know, for me is, I slow down from my normal podcast beer drinking pace for Tom.
Right.
Mike Pusateri, what's up?
We're still on strike, so you can see me outside of Warner Brothers or Disney or Paramount carrying a sign. You can follow me on the Twitter at Mike Pusateri, and then just Andy puts the links in for everything, so you can just go there. Yeah, could you put in my Blue Sky link, please, this weekend? I meant to email
sure.
you.
Absolutely,
at the right time. That's right.
I'll add that. So is the with the writer's strike looking mm-hmm. like it's? I mean, they basically said we're done. We're not striking anymore. People have now seen the agreement. They seem happy with it.
Just came out like about half an hour ago. It just released it, and they're officially ends at 12:01 tonight. Now the membership still has to vote on it, but their strike is effectively over this evening.
Good. Then I can get back to work writing all my as a protest, I wasn't writing any Billions fan fiction. I would now I get back to
you get back to it that. Now.
Mine's it's hard to be even dumber than the dialogue in Billions this year, but I think I'd give it a run for its money. So is there any optimism that some of the framework of the writers think can now move the yours along?
Yeah. There's we overlap on the sexy areas like AI and residuals for streaming. So in those areas, I think there's plenty of foundation for overlap, but we have a lot of specific things that apply to just us as actors that the writers don't. So there's still a lot to hash out. So we'll see. I mean, talks have not restarted yet, so, but we'll see.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. So since last we podcasted, there was an eventful week at Hallis Hall, although some of
it was
apparently imaginary. There still was, there was interesting stuff, but,
Still a little smoke,
What happened to Alan Williams? Is there any smoke about Peanut Tillman leading an FBI raid and making Matt Eberflus cry? Those were my favorite parts of it.
One of the things I learned was that Peanut Tillman is an FBI agent. Did you guys?
But he's
know
not
that?
An agent, right? He just went through like the training. I don't know. Is he actually an FBI agent?
He has been with the FBI for a few years. I remember Lawrence Holmes talking about it on a show maybe a few years ago.
And I knew that he, like...
I didn't know that, yeah. I had no idea.
Did the... Took the tests and did all the stuff. When that stuff started to come out... Well, the first thing, you know, that the cops were at Alan Williams... The FBI was at Alan Williams. He was like, well, who knows? We don't know this guy.
Yeah.
That could be true. Yeah. They came to Hallis Hall. You know, maybe they just wanted to come hang out with Vag. And then everything always gets, especially these days on Twitter or X.
Yeah, it got a little crazy.
Nuts. It was the QAnon folks jumped on, and all of a sudden it was child sex. Everything's child sex trafficking on Twitter within 10 minutes of anything breaking. And that got there. Then the most underreported thing, but I guess it didn't happen until that night, was that somebody stole $100,000 worth of lawn mowing equipment out of the parking lot.
How great was that? Unbelievable. That was.
I thought it was hilarious until I found out it wasn't the Bears don't own the equipment. It's the poor subcontractor who mows the grass and just parked the stuff in their parking lot. And you know that the Bears are like, oh yeah, we don't have insurance. Hope you got your own insurance. Yeah. We don't have any.
It's like a Sopranos episode.
Yeah. That was like, I think Tom Rinaldi just threw that in. Like, oh yeah, and don't forget about the 100,000. Well, the what?
we all shed a tear as he was given that report too.
And that overshadowed the fastest 180 we've seen Justin Fields make this year, where he when he sat down with the media, talked about how he needs to make decisions faster, and they said, "What do you attribute that to?" And he said, "Coaching."
Right.
And he's not wrong. And then after practice, he's like, you guys took my quotes out of context. It's like, well, I think y'all heard him, right?
Yeah.
Like, didn't you provide the context?
We pressed play and just watched.
Yeah, somebody should have just done that. Just held the thing up and pressed and just played it back to him. Is this not you?
Yeah.
Well, what was is this Peanut Tillman?
Do you acknowledge these words, sir?
Yeah.
Is it like Mission Impossible and Peanut wears the mask with the voice-changing thing over his larynx and he just gave this press conference? To me, the most disappointing thing was that he apologized, because there wasn't anything to apologize for, right? Like,
no.
What he said is true. He didn't just throw the coaches under the bus. He started off by saying he's got to play better, he's got to do this, got to do that. And I took it when he said coaching to mean they give me so much shit to try to like think about on every play that it paralyzes me, and you can see it. You could see it happen to him back there, like looking and you know there's a fine line. To me, one of the hallmarks of being a good coach is being able to present things to a player in a way that they can actually put it to use. Like man, Iggy could sit there on the fucking whiteboard and draw up his most brilliant play ever, and then but nobody could block it. And you couldn't get from the first read to the third read because of whatever. You know, that doesn't make you a good coach then, if nobody can do any of the stuff that you draw up for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that athletes say and coaches say, and Justin said it, is, you know, I'm thinking too much. And it's like, no. I hate when people say that. No, we want you to think out there. The problem is they're overloading him so much that he understandably can't think. He's too paralyzed by all the junk they're feeding into him. So we want him thinking the right amount. He's obviously giving up. They're not helping him. They clearly don't believe in him as a staff. And we're just headed for disaster. You know, when you have your defensive coordinator suddenly and mysteriously quits, and your quarterback blames coaching for the offensive struggles, and then you get stuffed in a locker by the Kansas City Chiefs, are these signs of good culture in the building? I'm kind of questioning that theory.
Yeah, I mean, the least surprising part was the actual game, right?
Yeah,
like we knew it was going to be some version of that. Like there were no surprises there. I mean, I didn't know we were going to be watching Taylor Swift for 45 of the 2.5 45 minutes.
There was that whole thing too. We had Taylor Swift showing up.
Taylor Swift and her future mother-in-law. Yeah, right there in the booth together.
Yeah.
The what's left of the Onion has a very funny thing where they have a. It's one of their slideshow things where they have Taylor's ex-boyfriends giving advice to Travis Kelce.
Oh, that's funny.
It takes a long time to get through it. There are some guys I didn't know she dated. Like, I didn't know she dated Rudy Giuliani. But Rudy's got advice for Travis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't know about that? That was a big one.
No.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I enjoy the people already trying to figure out, okay, when they break up, what will the songs be about? And there was even one of her, there was like a shot of her, like, I don't know, she was reading something, whatever, and they're like, there she is looking for words that rhyme with Kelce. She's already getting ready. There was a lot of bad stuff that happened, though. I thought the worst thing that happened was in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs fans booed Cairo Santos. I mean...
You took probably so a lot of offense to that.
Yeah.
Man's a legend in Kansas City. She revered.
Best kicker they ever. I mean, far better kicker than Jan Stenerud. And that's the thing. That's the welcome he gets. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even get to. Well, there's so much stuff to get to, but we didn't even get to. Justin Fields being clearly concussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, I even tweeted, I'm like, you know what's going to happen? And this meaningless thing, Tyson Bagent's going to lead him down for a touchdown. And it's just going to set talk radio on fire for the week. And right. Down by, I got to do math here, down by 38 points, Justin was back in.
Crazy. Crazy. It even sort of made sense. They're like, okay, they're going to kick the field goal. Yeah, they don't want to put Bajan out there right now.
Once that happens on third down, it's like, fuck it, just kick it. Plus, yeah. I think they wanted to kick it anyway, so just so they didn't get shut out. It was a nice, convenient excuse to not look like pussies, but instead you were like, all right, fine.
It's like, we don't want
to we had to do it. Had to kick it. Sorry. We had to do it.
Yeah. And all right, we'll play defense. We'll get Bajan ready, and then he'll come out. And then he never came out.
Justin zipped him right down the field then. You know why?
Yeah.
Couldn't think. Got a concussion. Can't think.
I don't think they're
throwing it. Yeah. It's the old Bob Brenly, right? Don't think he hurt the ball club.
Yeah.
Brenly must have said that 80. Well, like everything else he did, he said that 86 times this season.
That is
along with yesteryear. You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. Got funnier every time.
Every time. Boy, oh, Bob.
Along with all the Aramis bashing.
I guess we did finally get to the bottom of the Aramis bashing, right? When he turned it into Marcus Stroman bashing many years later, and they could just pretty much pretty easily connect two dots. Like, oh, all right, I guess we know what happened.
Oh, really? Really? Hey. Back to the shit show.
They, two turnovers. First two of the year.
Yeah. I mean, do they even count?
Yeah.
Jack Sanborn and Quindell Johnson. I know both of you guys have Q Johnson jerseys.
So yeah,
you
want to
get
Q
confused
Johnson.
With Roshan.
Right.
When they said that that's who made intercept, I'm like, geez, they're literally just pulling people out of the stands now.
Yeah.
Like, they've run out of defensive backs to the point where they were like, that guy looks fast. See if he wants to play. It helps when, I guess what it shows is this defense is designed and proved it can do it. It can shut down Blaine Gabbert.
See, and that's what you want a defense to do.
If
they see Blaine Gabbert again this year, that team, whatever team that is, no shot.
Yeah.
Maybe even on the Bears later this year.
It was inevitable, right? So in the pregame, or not the, I don't watch pregame, but you know, in like the first few minutes before the kickoff, when you get down to, you get Greg Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt and Aaron Andrews, and then the most depressing man on the continent, Tom Rinaldi, and they're talking about what's going to happen, and Olsen said he was excited to see, you know, the Bears now were gonna run Justin Moore, they were gonna roll him out. It's a whole new offense.
Mm.
And he threw for 35 yards in the first half, and he ran four times, and one of those was designed. So, another fine plan.
Yeah, oh, great plan. Great plan.
Yeah, if you wanted to give them credit for anything, and it's very hard to, it would be, why don't we not change this till next week when we play the Broncos? I mean, why should we waste the new shit on the Chiefs who are going to beat us by 40 no matter what? Yeah, just keep it.
Yeah,
that's true.
But the other thing was, you know, because they're the Bears, they were down 14-0 so fast that there really wasn't any plan you had of, like, we're going to control the ball, we're going to, you know, we'll just run it more. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
right.
Shit, we're already down by two touchdowns, and Taylor hasn't even sat down yet.
Yeah.
They were almost on pace to Chiefs went into the half, what, 34-0?
34,
yeah.
Yeah, 10 late points.
Like,
it was wild because I had 70 on the brain the whole time. It's like, and you're like, okay, at least they're not on pace to do this. And then they gave up 10 points in like the last 4 minutes of the half, and all of a sudden they're almost on pace. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I guess what it shows you, though, is how hard it is to give up 70 points. I mean, think about how badly the Bears played, and they couldn't do it. I'm sure they tried.
Yeah.
And they couldn't.
Well, Kansas City clearly lost interest. I mean, I don't know what happened with that Miami game. But
Miami did it because they were – I mean, they – Tua was – it's Tua threw for a lot of yards, but they – every time they ran the ball, they ran for like 15 yards. So even when they got to the point where they were just running the ball to like slow it, they were scoring.
Scoring.
And they're like, we're running the score. We're literally not. I swear we're not trying to do this.
Yeah, just, we're handing
could you,
off.
Could you just tackle that guy once?
Yeah.
They right. put their right. backup in. They put Mike White is their backup, not the former Illinois Rose Bowl coach, but the other guy. And he led them to like four touchdown drives.
Wow.
All that said, what I said at the beginning is not false. So the Broncos, also winless, lost by 50 points. 50. The game on Sunday is in Chicago at beautiful Soldiers Field, and the Broncos are 3-point favorites.
Yeah, that's
and it started. It's not, and it started at like 2.5. It's actually moving up. So the Vegas money is like, yeah, that seems right, and they're betting the Broncos. It's not like it was, you know. That's a good sign.
I'll just say it early. Get your bets in now, folks, because that's probably going to be free money.
Yeah, and one of the things I think that happened that maybe saved the Bears from not 70 points from D&D, but certainly 50. Was the biggest contribution Yannick has made, Ngakoue, was he got pushed by an offensive lineman and he rolled into Patrick Mahomes. And he rolled his ankle, and I think after that, Andy Reid's like, all right, we're going to get him out. Yeah, last thing we need is for him to break his foot playing against
just kick the field goal going in the half. Don't try for a touchdown.
Five touchdowns.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a bright side.
My prediction of 40 sacks is looking great.
It's looking great. What are we down to? They're averaging, what, 5 sacks a season?
They are averaging point three sacks per week.
Okay. So what are they on our pace for, like, what, 5-6 sacks for the year? It's pretty good.
Let's see. Well, that's a lot of math. One every three games. Yeah.
So every three games you get a sack.
Just under six.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
But trending in the wrong direction. They were originally on pace.
That seems like a pretty good pace to me.
Third.
Wow. That's quite a team we have built here.
Yeah. In the words of former Bears coach John Fox, it's all a problem.
It's all a problem. It is all a problem.
But here's another thing I love from post game quotes was Justin saying, "Hey, look at the Lions last year. Started off 1-7, 1-6, I guess 1-6, and they almost made the playoffs. We could be the Lions." That's where we are, guys. They are hoping. They're taking inspiration from the Detroit Lions, a team that has won one playoff game since 1955. This is the new, hey, maybe we can be this good for the Bears. Mm-hmm. That's their new target.
The team who Tampa Bay Buccaneers have more recently won a division containing the Bears, Packers, Vikings, and Lions than the Lions have.
That is a high quality. It's one of those. It's a depressing factoid. That's also very like, holy shit. You know.
Yeah.
So one of the things that when we do remember this crap, Mike Donahue and I, we like to always go through the other team's coaches. We go through their coaching history, their lineage, and we always get a kick out of the interim coaches that teams have had. Multiple teams. Rick Venturi, former Northwestern star who coached Rockford East High School for a while. He Colts and the Saints. Anyway, see some real doozies. Except for one team. One team has never had an interim coach.
Your Chicago.
And I'm starting to think maybe they're going to end that streak.
Well, they certainly should. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Who do you have be the interim coach? George?
Let's go with George. Yeah. Oh, maybe
that, is soup. That,
right.
Bring that soup guy back. Soup Campbell?
That's right.
Soup Campbell, yes.
Bring him out.
They still have his office stuff rainbows. In a box somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, it doesn't really matter. It's just it's saying this is unacceptable.
What about Virginia?
Hey, fine.
I'd like that. Fine. I think.
How about Taylor Swift? How about that?
Ash, busy.
Yes, there we go. Now we're talking.
That'll work.
Well, what's the celebrity fan bear equivalent to Taylor Swift? Jim Belushi.
All right. Bill Murray, Jim Belushi.
Ashton Kutcher.
Maybe Bob Odenkirk. He's a big Bears guy. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
If you see Bob on the picket line, could you give him a Cub hat? Because he has creased that. I see him. He wears it. It's great that he wears it when he's picketing. But it has like three big creases right in the bill. And it's like, all right. Did you pack that wrongly in the suitcase?
All right. I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah. Just say here. You know, they don't cost that much.
Yeah. I got some, and I'll just bring a couple extra and throw a couple in the car. I see them. I'll just bring them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a new. How about a new lucky hat?
Yeah.
So
here, Ron Coomer threw me this one.
Ian Happ wrapped a $100 bill around it and threw it into the bleachers for me. I guess I knew this, but I had forgotten it, that the last home game, the bleachers have like a potluck.
I didn't know that until this year.
Prez, you spent time out there.
Yeah.
Did you eat any of that?
I have seen it once. I did not touch it. I went to the 2019 home finale, which, you know, everyone kind of knew, but no one ever made it official that would be Joe Maddon's last game as a Cub. I didn't touch it just on the principle that I thought it was like, you know, I wasn't offered any, so it's not mine. I don't know if I would have taken any if offered any either, because it was sitting there for a while as well.
What about does Al Yellen, does he participate? Could you get the wax paper wrapped bologna sandwich? I mean, that I would try. 10 of 10 would try.
Only if he sits on it first.
Well, that's a given.
That's a given.
Right in the
gotta
back.
Give it warm. Yeah. Gotta give it warm.
Yesterday's mayo right in Al's back pocket. When he sits on that lawn chair for 3 hours before the game so he can get his spot right up under that. It's not – what I'm saying, I just looked at him like, I'm a little concerned about the food safety out there.
Well, I would certainly not eat anything that was home brought, but they brought in, like I saw Sullivan's call, and they shouted out, they brought Michael's Pizza. That's my neighborhood pizza place. Right. Now
I do like Michael's Pizza. Yes.
Yeah, I love Michael's. So that we'll I would. But if like someone's like, oh, I made a chili, I'm like, no, I'm not having a chili.
Get a 7-layer dip. You're probably going to pass on that.
I'm passing on that. I'm not having any Jell-O molds. I'm staying away from all of it.
The lime Jell-O with cat food in it.
Yeah, don't need that.
But how about that? The Cubs bleachers throw a better like tailgate spread than you can do at a Bear game, because there's nowhere to do it at a Bears game. Maybe that'll be the new thing. For the 40,000 fans that keep going to these games, they'll just let them like tailgate right in their seat. Bring your grill in.
There you
bring
go.
Bring your food. We don't care. Just please come.
Was there like a bleacher section at Old Soldier Field? Do you remember? Because I never got a chance to go to any games there.
Oh, I went
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, I went to some. That was the worst. It was easily the. I mean, I was in worse like high school stadiums.
Yeah,
it was the worst professional sports facility I'd ever been in. And there were so many things wrong with it.
So many things.
Fundamentally, the biggest issue with it was when they, you know, it was built this huge horseshoe. It was built to see like 130,000 people and have, you know, have Olympic track events at it and tractor pulls and Evel Knievel and when they
car races
when they closed it in, they made it, you know, they made it the oval. The oval went the wrong way. There were more seats in the end zones than there were on the sidelines. So it was bad seats and lots of them. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was ever there when like more than two bathrooms were actually working.
I never ever even thought about going to the bathroom at Old Soldier Field. You couldn't. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, the stadium buddy was invented for Bears fans who just wanted to, got tired of pissing down their leg into nothing. North Shore adult diapers would have loved.
Oh, Old Soldier Field. They would have had a field day there.
There were very little redeeming, and Danny and I talked about this too. That like, New Soldier Field is not a very good stadium, but it's a lot better than Old Soldier Field was.
Oh yeah.
So it's like the bar was so low that everybody went through. It was like, it's a palace. Look at it.
You're like,
finally.
See my shoes.
But yeah, I'm sure there were sections where there were no. This is another one. I did it to him last week. Donahue was screaming at his phone as he listens to this podcast. Which just means when we do the Broncos,
sorry, Huey,
remember this crap, we'll have to spend 15 minutes talking about the seating at Old Soldiers Field. Yeah, I mean, I already told the story about I went to the Lions-Bears game at the end of, I don't remember what year it was, but it was so cold. At the time, it was the coldest Bear game ever. And my buddy Neil and I had, we were 20, and we had, like, crammed, oh, I guess I should know what year it was. I know of the age that
you're
I was.
20, yeah,
but anyway,
right.
We had, like, beer cans shoved up the, like, sleeves of our parkas.
Yeah.
And by halftime, they were completely frozen.
that bricks.
Yes.
Old Soldier Field was somehow the coldest stadium. Like, I'd be there. I remember being there in an August, like, preseason game and freezing somehow. Like, how was this cold? There was not a good place to watch anything. But it was easy to get to.
Yeah, that's right. Easy to get to. But parking was amazing. If you want to get on a park somewhere and get on a school bus and have them drive you, you know, within 8 blocks of the entrance.
Yeah, terrific.
You could go to Gate O and watch Bobby Collins scream into a microphone at 9 o'clock in the morning. Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. It'll all get fixed when they move to Arlington Heights. And into their palace that they no way they can screw up.
And then they find a horse in the locker room that hasn't been removed.
Virginia, I know that horse. you guys probably saw this. Fells wrote a whole thing on Deadspin, and I linked to it on Twitter about how he's. Yeah, he feels guilty, but it's the most Chicago thing ever. He's just waiting for an elderly owner to die so that they'll sell the team and you get ownership.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before. I used to work with one of the McCaskey girls, and she was always bitching about how they didn't get any money, the grandkids. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get any money. It sucks. I wish they'd sell the team. I could cash in and get my money. She came up to me one time and she offered me the tickets for that Sunday's game. And I was like, oh, well, maybe. And she was going to sell them to me at like a little over her face. I know you didn't pay for these.
Yeah.
Go find some other sucker. Take them off your hands. I'm not going. But maybe in what might have been Ted Phillips' most valuable move ever, at least in terms of the incumbents of the Bears, he came up with the idea when they started the big TV money started coming in. To give the grandkids some money. Basically, get them to shut up. And it worked. Now they're like, don't never sell this team.
Yeah. Cash cow.
It's like, what's that old, I don't know why I even started this. I don't remember the beginning of the joke. But in Bonnie and Clyde, the Gene Hackman joke.
Oh, the Warren Beatty movie?
Huh?
The Warren Beatty movie?
Yeah. Young Gene Hackman. There's never a young. He was born 40 years old. Young Gene Hackman is in it. And he tells a joke. I know the punchline. I gotta go backwards to figure it out. It's a guy and his... I'm going to tell this joke, and then it's going to be completely wrong. I'm just going to edit it out. But I'll give it a shot. I probably could just go find the clip and not bore you guys by trying it. But now I just want to remember the joke. So...
Well, maybe you can attach the clip when you edit it, and then we'll know the joke.
That's true.
There we go.
I'll just pause for the clip.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a guy and his mom live on a farm. And so I don't remember why they do this. I don't remember. I know the punchline. For some reason, he... I know what it is.
Oh, it's a dairy farm that or something.
Yeah, he's mixing whiskey into her milk for some reason.
Okay,
as some medicinal reason, and she after a few days, she looks at him and says, "I don't know whatever you do, Sonny, don't sell the cow." I put the real joke in. It's good. It's legitimately like it's one of the few times in a movie they stop to tell a joke that's basically unrelated to the movie just to tell it, and it's legitimately funny. So,
yeah,
it was the funniest thing Gene Hackman had done in a movie until
Until
I was gonna make espresso.
You're a mute. Incredibly big mute. My name's Harold.
That's what they should do on Sunday. Just play Young Frankenstein on the while the Bears and the Broncos are playing. Just play it on the video boards. Entertain the fans.
Yeah. I'll take that educational lesson.
Yes.
Or just show the Red Zone channel the whole day during the game. Just so the fans have something else to watch. Like, oh, look at this. This is pretty good. I'm glad we paid for this. Well, I guess we should talk about the Broncos are terrible. Their defense is terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Their offense, not so terrible.
No.
Well, but not terrible. So terrible.
Right. Russell Wilson actually played pretty well in the first two games.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is why
they're
road favorites.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So if you're like Vegas, you look at if you take the four units, Bear offense, Bear defense, Broncos offense, Broncos defense, there's one functioning unit among the four.
Right.
And you're there like, at least there's that. All right, Broncos win. Just don't overthink it, Sonny. Don't overthink this. You just lose. Yeah. And they can't stop the Broncos can't stop the run.
No.
That should play into the Bears' hands, right? Aren't they supposedly a running team?
Who knows what they are? But
so
sure.
This does seem this is the loaded up, the freshly concussed Justin Fields.
Right.
Going to run 25 times, going to throw 9 passes. Just going to run Khalil and Roshan right up their ass. And if the Dolphins can score 70 points, by God, we can score 17. And.
There you go. Put that on the bulletin. I hope that's the bulletin board sign.
That's the.
Yeah, can we work in a new principle? The run principle.
Yeah. Well, we ain't gonna be hearing that much longer. I don't think it's.
So there's that. So they've got that. The Bears. It's not as bad as you think. I was just looking at their rankings.
Oh, good.
Points four on offense. Points scored. 27th in the league. Four teams worse than the Bears.
See? Look at that.
Or five. 28, 29, 30, 31, 30. It's actually five. Not doing math very well. Yards gained. Yep. What do you think they are out of 32 teams?
28.
Yeah, 29th.
29 with a bullet. Three teams worse.
Okay.
First downs.
Oof. 31st.
Yeah, 31st.
27th.
27th, okay.
27th.
Hey, there we go.
Okay, I'll stop making you guess. Yards gained, 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdowns are 18th.
Oh, wow, middle of the pack.
Our passing touchdowns are 18th with three. Three.
<That's incredible>. Three? Okay.
Let's see. Rushing yards. Here we go. 17th.
Okay. Almost, there you go.
Almost mediocre.
Wow.
Yards per attempt rushing, 11th.
Look at that. That's almost competent right there. Where are they in sacks?
49.
I had to go back.
Let's see. I'm scrolling.
Yeah, there are defunct teams that have more than them.
They are 46th in sacks.
Yeah,
right,
46.
Right behind the Canton Bulldogs and the Portsmouth.
Right behind the Boston Yanks.
Yeah.
Are there any Bean Eaters? Or are they only beans in baseball? Probably. Defensively, even better. 29th in yards allowed. Number 11 in. Okay, this is a very important stat.
Okay.
Passing attempts allowed. They're 11th.
That's how you win the Super Bowl. Yep. Passing attempts.
That is allowed on the hits thing. That's we're going to limit passing attempts. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by not stopping the run, and when they do pass, just let them score. It's only one pass. None of this six passes to get down the end zone. Just one. There you go. Let's maximize it.
They said Ryan Poles could not build a good team in 2 years, and they were right. They were right. They were spot on.
Well, let's check the Broncos here.
Okay, this will be fun.
Defense.
Another 0-3.
How do you think they are in points allowed? What do you think they rank in points allowed?
I'm going to go 32nd.
yeah, 32nd as well.
Last in points especially allowed. Last in yards allowed. 29th in turnovers. They've got one. Bears, three. No, two. Just two. Okay. I was imagining
a turnover thing. Battle.
Passing attempts. They're running the same defense the Bears have. They're fifth.
What?
Fifth in fewest passing attempts. Again, only 104 passes against them in three games. You hardly ever have to throw it. Passing yards, 29th. Passing touchdowns, 32nd. Net yards per play, 32nd. But on offense, 15th in points, 15th in yards, 12th in passing attempts, 8th in passing yards.
It's functional.
Yeah, they're functional. And that's
about right.
So I was only kind of joking. I'm sure that's why they're favored. Because
you're right.
All right. One of these teams does one good thing.
Yeah.
So they give them the edge. And they're probably right. Let's see here. Let's see. They don't have it yet. They don't have the announcers yet. I'm very.
Would it be CBS since Broncos are on the road against the Bears?
Oh, wait. Maybe I did get this wrong. Uh-huh. I think they do have it. They do. Clicked on the wrong thing. It is CBS. Ooh. Got a good crew. Befitting this epic matchup. How do you like Andrew Catalan, Tiki Barber, Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan? Wow.
Yeah, Matt Ryan.
Does that play for the Jets this week?
No, he announced that he didn't want to do that. He got asked.
How about I would prefer Tim Ryan and Johnny Morris. Do that.
Yeah, there you go.
They're trending closer and closer to that every week.
Yeah.
Although Johnny's like, fuck that. I'm not coming out of retirement for that.
I think I waste his time watching this shit.
Johnny's still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny's still alive. Jeannie died. His wife died.
Jeannie did.
But Johnny's still around.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. He's not ready to hand the leading all-time living Bears receiving yardage.
Right.
Give that up to who did we decide was next second? How do I not remember this stuff? It's DJ Moore. That's another prediction that is spot on. The fact that he's going to set the Bears single season record for catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Yep. Doing great. Nailing it.
Yeah. That pregame pod. I already sent it to the Podcasting Hall of Fame. you're going to want to. This is basically the Dead Sea Scrolls of podcasts. I don't think that shit was very. Was all that accurate either. Let's see. Alshon Jeffrey will be the... Assuming Alshon outlives Johnny Morris, because Harlan Hill is number two.
Okay.
There it is. That never fails to amuse that the all-time leading Bear receivers retired in 1967 and 1961. The ball was round at the time.
Yeah,
they didn't bother to put points on it yet because they would throw it. Yeah. Nobody's going to want to do that. Keep it.
Even wear face masks. Half the players were wearing face masks in those
days. Keep it like a pumpkin. All right. Well, the most important thing we can do is we pick this game. I think I went first last week, but I will gladly go first again. I feel like I'll take the bullet. I'll make the hard choice.
Okay.
I'm going to take – they're giving me points with the Bears at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them. Because I know they're not only going to cover, they're going to win this outright.
Okay.
The over-under is 46. I don't think the Bears score 70 points. 63 maybe.
See what the weather looks like for that.
Like they
day.
Did against the Packers that when they won 63-7.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
It was funny though, I thought.
Sunny and 80.
I thought during the game when I know it was kind of like in real time. Like it's not like they had prepped for it because the game ended while they were getting ready to start theirs, but they Burkhardt and Olsen were like, "God, somebody scored more than 70 points?" It's like, "Yeah, you're looking at one of them. They're right down there." I mean, I know it was 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago. But the Bears, 73-0, too. They didn't give up 20 like the Dolphins.
Right.
They didn't give up nothing.
They're shellacking.
Yeah, I didn't see that Dolphins win Inspire a New Fight song.
All right, so I'm taking the Bears, and I'll take the under. I could see 14-10 Bears. That's
a defensive struggle.
A safety and four field goals.
Wow.
Okay.
Gotta get at the hard. Get to 14 the hard way.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Pusateri, what do you got?
I'm gonna say with zero confidence that the Bears will win the game. But I would pick Denver. If I was
your money would pick Denver.
My money would pick Denver.
Your heart will pick the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just got to stay true to my preseason, you know, games. But I'm going to take the over.
All right. You're figuring, yeah, it's probably right. It's a sensible play, right? Broncos will score. Bears, if the Bears are going to win, they're going to have to. You have to put up, you know, 28 points probably. Oh, God.
Yeah.
They could leave him alone in the field in the second half, and they wouldn't get to 28.
Yeah.
Cole, the other way. No, the other way. Shit.
Yeah.
What kind of shape is the field going to be in with no equipment?
Yeah, you know, I can't mow it. Megan Rapinoe ran all over it on Sunday.
Yeah.
All 132 pounds of her. I'm sure she tore it up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My turn. All right. Give me the Broncos -3, and I'll say under, but that's mostly just to be a function of the Bears' offense not putting anything together. Yeah. I think the Broncos will still put up some points, but this will be a game that we don't exactly look back on favorably. Probably a 28-10 game.
Do you think by the end of the season the Bears fans will organize some kind of like ticket give back to try to get the games blacked out locally?
Yes.
I know they don't do it anymore. There's no such thing as blackouts anymore. They don't enforce them. But,
right.
Give it a shot.
Then the Bears will have to do what the White Sox should do. Offering $1 tickets.
I did see a video where a guy though went to StubHub and he was quizzing the other guys. Like, all right, what do you think the cheapest price for a ticket to the Bears is? I don't know. It's like it's NFL. $20. Nope. $10. No. It was under $5. You could get in at Soldier Field on the secondary market for less than $5. I would think the ticket fees are more than $5.
Yeah, ticket fees are like $90. Wow.
That's, all right. But think about how much better it's going to be next week when we have this big win to talk about and all these huge plays to break down. And then we're like, oh, my God. I mean, look out. The NFC North should have got their shit together because now here come the Bears. You didn't bury when you got the chance.
Here come the Bears. Soon to be 1-6. Soon to be this year's Lions.
Yeah.
We've aspired to become the Lions.
Yeah.
Things are going great. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.